Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King. He's our Judge. He's our Lawgiver. And Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah again to come before you with his great, holy, and exalted words. Tonight we will be dealing with another book of the law. We brought to you the book of Genesis, which comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit. We brought to you the book of Exodus, which comes from the Hebrew word Shemot. And now we will bring to you the book of Leviticus, which comes from the Hebrew word Vayikra. Genesis means beginning. Exodus means names. But Leviticus means he called out, or to call out. As it is stated in the book of Leviticus, the very first chapter. And let me read that to you. Because not only does the book itself describe the meaning, or the meaning is within the confines of the book? Likewise with Genesis, likewise with Exodus, and there is no difference. Leviticus. Again, in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, the very first verse is in the beginning. Bereshit. In the book of Exodus, the very first chapter, the very first verse says, these are the names. Shemot. And likewise in the book of Leviticus, the very first chapter, the very first verse, and it says, and Yahweh called to Moshe and spoke to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and this is what Yikra means, to call out, or he called out. And this is what Yahweh would do from the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is what you're going to learn about the book of Leviticus. Just like Genesis, I showed you 12 different generations. That if you take the time to study, learn, then you will be able to not only know your origin, your beginning, your generation, but the generations of man. Just by studying these 12 generations, it will teach you not only Genesis, but it will take you throughout the book of Yahweh to show you the relationships, the knowledge that you must possess to have the knowledge of Elohim about the various nations on the earth. Today, these nations are called by strange and peculiar names. But what you don't know is that these nations come from ancient people. And if you want to know prophecy and how relevant these nations are today, you're going to have to look into the past. You're going to have to look at their beginning, in the beginning. But likewise with Exodus, we showed you 12 different names. And why? Because what in the world do you think Exodus means? It means names. And we showed you 12 names that if you study, learn about, then not only you will learn the book of Exodus, but these names will take you throughout all the book of the law as well as the Holy Scriptures, and it will show you how relevant these names are to the law. For the Scripture says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Those names that we brought to you are testimonies of laws. You don't even know the law without studying Moses. Who you think brought the law? What do you know about the fear of Yah? You don't even know the names that Yahweh will begin to show you his fear. Those who will build a tabernacle, the high priest, the woman prophetess, as well as the sons of Moses, and the various names on our journeys that Yahweh never wanted to forget, such as Marah, and Manah, and Masah, and Meribah, Truly, if you study these things, you will begin to understand, not only learn these books, but also the law. Leviticus is different. It's different than all the other books of the law. It's the third book of the law, the third book of the Holy Scriptures. And if you've been listening to us, you would understand what the third represents. Here it is, Levi. Little do people know how relevant this is. Levi is the third born to Jacob. And when Levi was born, his wife Leah said, "Now my husband will join himself unto me, be joined to me, and he shall love me." Little do people know that's what the third represents. It represents what Yahweh did on the third day. And what did he do? He made the earth on the third day. And when he made the earth will produce certain things on this third day. But then Yahweh, what he will make on the sixth day, the earth also produced that. And so this third is very relevant. It represents holiness. Now, a lot of people don't know this. Why do you think in the third year Yahweh told you to bring your holy tithes? Why do you believe, why do you think that the third book of the scripture is a Levite who Yahweh separated from all the 12 tribes of Israel and said this Levite will be holy, the sons of Levi? And amongst the Levites came the priest who came from the seed of Aaron, who himself was a Levite. And they were holy. So Yahweh would speak from the tabernacle, come down to this tabernacle that I may add was built and designed in the book of Exodus according to the laws of Yahweh. And Yahweh would name, because that's what Exodus means, he would name those who he wanted to do the building and the teaching of the building. So now we're in Leviticus. There's 27 chapters in the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Holy Scriptures, 27 chapters. In these 27 chapters, we're going to deal with 12 different jewels of truth, 12 different laws that Yahweh will speak from this tabernacle. And these laws, these statutes, these judgments, these commandments will open up your eyes to the truth of Yahweh. The book of Leviticus is what separates us from all the other nations upon the face of the earth. Because everything in the book of Leviticus deals with holiness. And why? Because it deals with the holy sanctuary, tabernacle of meeting or tabernacle of congregation of Yahweh, as you're going to learn. So the first thing that we're going to deal with in the book of Leviticus, we know what it's called, he called out, because this is what Yahweh would call out to Moses to do, like a holy calling. In other words, these are the reasons This is the purpose that you would even have a tabernacle, a meeting, in the midst of the children of Israel. And who were the guardians of this tabernacle? Yes, the Levites, the third born of Jacob. Those were and are the guardians. The first law that we're going to deal with in the book of Leviticus, and it's 12. So all you need to know is 12 things in the book of Leviticus, and you will know the whole book of Leviticus. Of course, you're not only going to know the whole book of Leviticus, but these laws will take you into the other book. And you'll begin to start understanding that. And the first law are the seven holy offerings that Yahweh commanded his people to be brought to the tabernacle of meeting before Yahweh. And there's certain things you need to know about these offerings, and it's just seven. And let's read to you what you need to know. In the book of Leviticus, the first chapter. So let's have fun learning the law. The very first verse, and Yahweh called to Moshe, spoke to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, and the tabernacle is holy. Not anybody can go in. There are certain laws that take you in and bring you out. Certain things you got to wear. Certain things that can't be touched. Why should it say this? Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man of you bring an offering unto Yahweh, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. And if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before Yahweh. And let me tell you what these offerings are. Now, and I may add, I want you to take good notes, but make no mistake about it. This week we should have all five of the books of law. Is that the printing press, the books that we ordered, is that the printing press? And all we're doing is waiting for them to return to us. And once we get them, you will have all five books of the law. They'll be available to you. But let me share with you the seven different offerings. The first one is the law of the burnt offering. And we'll talk a little bit about that. The second one, the law of the meat offering, which is really a meal offering, a flour offering. Number three, the law of the offering of Aaron and his sons. Four, the law of the sin offering. Five, the law of the trespass offering. Number six is the law of the peace offering. And then number seven is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering when you offer it for Thanksgiving. Number seven. Those are the seven holy offerings. And within those seven offerings, then Yahweh would go in and tell you, well, if you offer a goat, then this is the way you do it, or a lamb, this is the way you do it, or a ram, this is the way you do it, or a bullock, this is the way you do it. For instance, for the sin offering, which you will read in Leviticus, the fourth chapter, if the priest sin, then the priest just bring a young bullock without blemish to the door of the tabernacle. That's if the priest sin. But that's the priest. That's why you got to know this law. But if the whole congregation sin through ignorance, and the thing is known now, then they will bring a young bull out to the door of the congregation, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock and confess their sins. That's if the whole congregation sins. But if a ruler sins, he don't bring a bullock at all. What is a ruler? That could be a prince. That could be a king. It can be an elder. But if a ruler sins, he bring a kid of the goat, male without blemish. But if one of the common people sins, that's just, they're not a ruler, they're not some type of elder or have any position, this is just one of the common people, like me, we will bring a kid of the goat, a female without blemish. And that was very important because here it is, Christ said, it is alleged that Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for our sin, and he was a sacrificial lamb. Well, first of all, if he was a lamb and he died for all our sins, then he should have been a woman, not no male. Because if we sinned, and we did sin, then we're supposed to bring a female without blemish. And I don't think he was a female. That's why you got to know the law. And those are the sin offerings. So number one, the book Leviticus, it first started out letting you know not only the various seven holy offerings from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 10, it lets you know the holy offerings, the seven holy offerings that we are to make to the Most High. Every offering that Yahweh told us to bring, he told us to bring it voluntarily. In other words, nobody commanded you to bring these things. Nobody forced you, tricked you, bamboozled you. You're supposed to bring these offerings of your own voluntary will. In other words, willingly, which comes from the Hebrew word nadiv, which means voluntary, willingly, willing-hearted. And every offering, I may add, this is dealing with things that go on the altar. Because you can offer things that's not going on to the altar. Such as, go to the book of Exodus 35. Just want you to see this. And what is the law and what is required of you. We're dealing with the book of Leviticus. And these are the things that Yahweh called out to Moses. The first thing, the first holy thing that we will deal with in the book of Leviticus is the seven holy offerings that I just talked to you about. But when you bring them, no, Yahweh ain't making you bring nothing. In the book of Exodus 35, watch what it says in the fifth verse. Take you from among you an offering unto Yahweh. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Yahweh, gold and silver and brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skin, shed on wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate. These are willing offerings. Again, not these. Watch the 21st verse in the same chapter. And they came, and everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought Yahweh's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments. And I may add, how you going to do any kind of work and you don't even have the things to even do the service of Yahweh? Watch the 22nd verse. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Yahweh. This is what they would do. The 29th verse of this same chapter. This is what voluntary is. Here it is. We have people don't even understand the significance of a tabernacle, a holy meeting, a holy tabernacle of Yahweh. Somebody got to sweep. Somebody got to clean. Somebody got to wipe it down. Somebody got to make it smell good. Somebody got to keep the furniture straight. Somebody got to turn on the lights. Somebody got to burn the oil. All these things must be done willingly. That's why we only got a few people doing the things that we ask, because everybody ain't willing hearted. And I'm not mad at you, because at the end of the day, Yahweh only want willing hearted to do his work, to do his will, to bring to him and to offer to him, because he don't want nobody thinking that he's making you do anything. The 29th verse. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto Yahweh. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which Yahweh had commanded to be made by the hand of Moshe. How things going to be made and you don't have nothing to make it with? Which brings me to these sacrifices, which brings me back to these seven holy offerings that had to be put on the altar. Every last one of these seven offerings, unlike the offering of gold, silver, and brass, or the offering of linen and wool and ram's goat hair and so forth and so on, and wood. These offerings in the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, the seventh chapter, the eighth chapter of Leviticus are things that were to go on the altar. Seven holy offerings. And why? Why would Yahweh, first of all, want you to bring him some bullocks and some rams and some goats and offered? It sounds like some type of old, archaic, ancient ritual, killing stuff and burning it. And Elohim, are we dealing with? Well, let me tell you what kind of Elohim we dealing with. The true and living Elohim. People don't even know why beasts are made. Do you realize that the only reason a beast is made, a fowl is made, and all these things are made, they're made for the service of Yahweh? Why do you think Moses told Pharaoh? He said, look here, we got to take our livestock, we got to take our cattle with us. Because we know not how to, we don't know what Yahweh going to ask us for when we get out there. So we got to take all this with us. Because we got to offer, we got to worship Yahweh. And we know not what he's going to tell us to worship him with. And let me show you how you serve the true and living creator and what makes him different in all the various false deities that our people serving today. In the book, just want you to see this. Genesis, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Because, again, I know that our people, they think they know the law, but they really hadn't been trained in the law. This is what this study guide is for. It's to train you in the law. It's to help you to learn the law faster, quicker, more efficiently than you had ever learned before. Who knew? Who's teaching you that it's 7 different offerings that go on the altar by law? And then tell you what these offerings are. And then not only that, what the actual beast is made for. I'm about to show you that. Watch this in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 18th verse. Watch what this says. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatever creeps upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto Yahweh. And I'm going to show you what this altar is. Because there's a law concerning the building, the construction of an altar. And Noah built the altar unto Yahweh and took of every clean beast. He didn't take all the clean, but he took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offer burnt offerings upon the altar. Now, why would Noah do this thing? What is the meaning? What is the purpose? What is the understanding? Watch what it says. And Yahweh smelled a sweet savior. And Yahweh said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So what is this saying? What was Noah doing? What was this testimony for? And what is it letting us know? It let us know that undoubtedly Yahweh loved the sweet smell of meat. And not just meat. Because that's not the only thing that Yahweh tell us by law to put on the altar. There's a meal offering that we put on the offering also by law. And why do we put it on there? Well, let me show you why. In the book of Leviticus, the 6th chapter. So you can see for yourself. Why is this the law? And you're going to have a different perspective of what an altar is and what a sacrifice is. In the book of Leviticus, the 6th chapter, watch this. I'm going to go right to it. And this is, it says in the 14th verse, and this is the law of the meal offering. I know it's a meat offering in your book because that's just some type of trick. But it's a meal offering. The sons, in other words, flour. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahweh, before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meal offering, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense which is upon the meal offering. Because you mix all that together. And shall burn it upon the altar. And why would you do that? For a sweet savior even a memorial of it unto Yahweh. Yahweh loved the smell of this stuff. Have you ever walked in somebody's kitchen, walked in somebody's house, and you said, my goodness, what you cooking? That smell good. This is beautiful. The smell will bring joy to your heart. It would entice you to want to eat. And it's sweet unto the nose, to the smell. Well, Yahweh made us in his image and after his likeness. And Yahweh loved this type of smell. So guess what he would say? Guess what he will make by law? Look here. Make me an altar and put some good meat on there. I want the fat on there. And I want you to fix this up and dress it up and set it in order for a sweet savior unto Yahweh. In other words, you know what the priest was doing every day, every morning, and every evening? They were cooking for Yahweh. They were grilling out for Yahweh. All the altar is a gigantic grill so that Yahweh can smell the barbecue that the priest, and why the priest? Because Yahweh wanted people who can make it like he loved. And the people that can make it like he loved are those who was consecrated to make it like he loved. And that was the priest. Or that was someone like Noah or Abraham. Some righteous individual that understood the law of Yahweh. And the law of Yahweh is a bunch of recipes for Yahweh. And they were cooking for Yahweh every single day. As a matter of fact, twice at minimum a day. This is what they would do. Watch this. In the book of Exodus 29. And this is what they do. That's what a sacrifice is. Things that Yahweh loved to smell. But not just for Yahweh. Because some people got this thing mixed up. They think this is just for sin. No, Yahweh said, bring it as a result of sin. Bring it as a result of trespass. Bring it as a result of thanksgiving and peace offering. These are the reasons why you're bringing it. But it's for a sweet savior unto Yahweh. In other words, if you're going to come to my house, which is the tabernacle meeting. All right, put a meal together. And this is the meal I want. Since you want to come to my house. And what is this house? Isn't it the tabernacle of the congregation? Watch this. In the book of Exodus 29, the 18th verse. And it says, and you shall burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering to Yahweh. It is a sweet savior. And an offering made by fire to Yahweh. That's what this is. It's for a sweet savior. What about the 25th verse of this same chapter? And you shall receive them from their hands and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering. For a sweet savior before Yahweh. It is an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Are you understanding this? The 41st verse. And the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and shall do thereto according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof. For a sweet savior, an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. That's what this is, brothers and sisters. And let me add this in the book of Leviticus, the second chapter. Watch this. Leviticus 2. These are what these offerings are. But it's not just for a sweet savior unto Yahweh. I'm going to show you what else. that most people don't even consider. And here it is, our people don't want to do no sacrifices. Watch what it says. Because they think it's some type of religion. No, there's no religion at all. Watch this. In the book of Leviticus, the second chapter, the 13th verse, it says, "And every oblation," which means offering, "of your meal offering shall you season with salt." Why you do that? What purpose do that have? Well, it has great purpose. A lot of people, they don't want to taste nothing without salt. But Yahweh don't even want to smell nothing without salt. Because Yahweh can smell the salt. And when your senses are good enough, you'll be able to smell the salt, the seasoning of the salt also. Just like you can smell the cumin and the turmeric and the cayenne pepper and all the other seasonings that we consume. But Yahweh wanted salt. Watch what it says. Here's your enemies tell you salt ain't no good for you. And the truth is, the whole truth is, the salt they give us ain't no good. Watch what it says. "Neither shall you allow the salt of the covenant of your Elohim to be lacking from your meal offering." And then it says, "With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." And why? Because not only does it taste good, it smells good. So this altar was nothing more than a big grill, but only people could approach it is the chefs that Yahweh wanted to prepare the food for him. And not just for him, not just for the sweet Savior, for him. Watch this. This is the law in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. We're talking about the seven holy sacrifices, which you'll read from Leviticus, the first chapter, all the way up until the 10th chapter of Leviticus. Right now, we're covering the 10 chapters. See how fast and speedy this can go? But it's 12 different laws. This is the law of the seven holy offerings of Yahweh. In the book of Deuteronomy 18, and watch what it says in the first verse. "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part, no inheritance with Israel. They shall eat of the offerings of Yahweh made by fire and his inheritance." In other words, these sacrifices we're making is not just for Yah to smell. This is the food of the priest. And can you imagine people not feeding the priest? Then how can they do the service and the work of Yahweh? And what did Yahweh provide his priest to do his work? It was the food that you brought. It was the gold and silver that you offered. Watch what it says. Second verse. "Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. Yahweh is their inheritance, as he has said to them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it is ox or sheep, and they shall give it to the priest, the shoulder, the cheeks, and the stomach. The first fruit also of your corn, your new wine, your oil, the first of the fleece of your sheep shall you give him. For Yahweh, your Elohim, has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of Yahweh, him and his sons forever. And if the Levite comes from any of your gates out of Israel, where he sojourns, and comes with all the desire of his mind to the place which Yahweh shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of Yahweh his Elohim, as all his brethren and Levites do, which stand there before Yahweh. And they shall have light portions to eat, besides that which comes of the sale of his patrimony. So this is how they eat. This is the word of Yahweh. A Christian wants you to believe the only reason you have sacrifice is to die for your sins, the blood from the animals. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into the blood. But right now, Yahweh wanted you to know, fools, this is the food for my servants. This is the money for my servants. Not only there, in the book of Leviticus, the third chapter. Let us turn there. And this is what it says. And I'm going to read the 11th verse. Watch what it says. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire unto Yahweh. This is how Yahweh's servants ate. So we got this brainwashed mind that thinks some sacrifices about religion. No, this is how the priests ate, who work for Yahweh. When Yahweh says, 6 days shall you labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day thou shalt rest and do no work. He wasn't talking about the priest, because the priest worked for Yahweh 7 days a week. They didn't have off. The high priest, the priest who did the sacrifice, because sacrifices had to be done every day, including the Sabbath day. As a matter of fact, on the Sabbath day, there was a special sacrifice made. But why would a Elohim, why would Yahweh want to smell some meat? Who do you think made meat? Who do you think made the animals? Who do you think Yahweh really is, for real? Let me show you who Yahweh is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Showed you the difference between Yahweh and everything else. Everything in terms of any type of idol. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, the 28th verse, it says, and there you shall serve idols, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. And watch what Yahweh say, which neither see, these idols can't see nothing, they not even real, nor hear, they show, can't hear nothing, because they're not real, nor eat, these things can't eat. You making stuff in vain. You making stuff just a waste. Nor smell. They can't tell you how much they love it because they can't even speak. And they sure can't tell you how good it smells because they can't smell. But you know what? Yahweh can see. Yahweh can hear. Yahweh can eat. And Yahweh can smell. But not these idols. And Yahweh loves to smell the food that's prepared specifically like he loved it. Who is Yahweh's shelf? The righteous, the holy, the priests of Yahweh. Those are his shelves. And what do Yahweh want this stuff cooked on? It's called an altar. And where did the priests get their food? From that same altar that Yahweh loved to smell that good grilling. This is why we got the first 10 chapters dedicated to sacrifices. And I may add, Yahweh wants the best because he wants the best for his servants. People think he wants the best for him. No, he wants the best for those who will do his work. Look what it says in a book in Exodus 22. But if it was up to us, if Yahweh didn't say bring it to him, do you actually believe that we will bring any man our best? No, we keep the best for ourselves. We keep the best for our own families and give them our leftovers. This is what you do when you offer something today. The poor, they get the hand-me-down. They're not getting the best of what you got. You're not going to buy them something that you buy for yourself and then give it to them. That's how you really should. They should get the best. According to the scriptures. But what they get is your throwaways. In the book of Exodus 22. And this is what it says in verse 29. This is the law. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe fruits and of your juices. The firstborn of your sons shall you give to me. Likewise shall you do with your oxen, what? Your first. With your sheep, your first. 7 days it shall be with his mother, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me, because all these things are holy. We're talking about the seven holy offerings that you're to bring to the holy tabernacle of meeting to Yahweh. Neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs. Here it is, you don't even supposed to eat nothing torn with the beast. And our people will go in these restaurants, don't know what they're eating. The seven holy offerings of Yahweh. This is Yahweh's food. This is the priest's food. And I may add, last scripture in the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter. Not only Yahweh wanted made a certain way, Yahweh not only want a certain select, chosen, set apart people, tribe, family, to make the food, but Yahweh wanted you to bring this to him. That's why it's called the tabernacle of meeting. You can't take it nowhere else. You got to take it to Yahweh. So this is what it says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, starting at the first verse. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh your Elohim of your fathers gives you to possess it. All the days that you live upon the earth, you shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their idols. Destroy all them, because you're going to serve me a whole different way. Upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. In other words, wherever you want to serve them, you can serve them. But watch what it says. And you shall overthrow their altars, break their pillars, burn their groves with fire. You shall hew down their graven images of their idols. and destroy the names of them out of that place. In other words, wipe their names out. You shall not do so unto Yahweh Elohim, but to the place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there. Even unto his habitation shall you seek, and there shall you come. And what should you bring? And there shall you bring your burnt offerings. That's what we're talking about. Your sacrifice, that's what we're talking about. Your tithes, and we're going to talk about tithes. Heave offerings, that's what we're talking about. Of your hand, your vows, your free will offerings, the firstborn of your herds and of your flocks. This is what we're to bring to the place where he chose to place his name. Watch the 8th verse. You shall not do after all the things we do here this day, every man whatsoever, right in his own eyes. Because that's how our people living today. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which Yahweh Elohim gives you. But when you go over Jordan, dwell in the land which Yahweh Elohim gives you to inherit. When he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safely. Then there shall be a place which Yahweh Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. There shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of your hand, your choice vows which you vow unto Yahweh. Also, watch the 13th verse. Take heed to yourself that you offer not your burnt offerings in every place that you see, but in a place which Yahweh shall choose in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings. There you shall do all that I command you. Here it is. I wish I can make a dish for Yahweh. I can burn something to Yahweh, and he say, my goodness, this is a sweet, say, I smell this thing, and this is beautiful, as he did, as Noah did for him, as Abraham did for him, as Jacob did for him, and Yahweh loved it. And as our people would do every morning, and every evening, I would cherish to do such a thing, to offer something that the priest would carve up and kill properly, season that thing, and then they would sit down and eat and find joy of heart from this. But imagine, we can't even sacrifice today, because we're not in a place where Yahweh chose to place his name. So in other words, this 400 years, we can't get the credit for sacrificing unto Yahweh this beautiful thing that we're reading, these beautiful things that's recorded in the book of the law, the book of Leviticus. None of these things are we doing. It is a great blessing that Yahweh is not relying on us, because we offer him nothing but a bunch of lip service. But where is his food? Where is the food of the Levites? Can't even be offered, because Yahweh has removed us far from the place where he loves to receive the holy things of the tabernacle. Last scripture, Leviticus 22:7. And this is what it says. Again, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Leviticus, the first chapter, all the way up until the 10th chapter, talking about these seven holy voluntary offerings, sacrifice made for Yahweh, made for the priest that was called out from the tabernacle of meeting and brought to the tabernacle of meeting for Yahweh himself, for the Most High, in the place that he chose to place his name. Watch what it says. Leviticus 22 and 7. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterwards eat of the holy things. And we read of the holy things, the seven holy offerings, because it is his food. It is his food. Sacrifices are for. This is what we're doing. And I can show you. No Christian, no religion, and the mass majority of our people don't have a clue about feeding our people and giving Yahweh something he loves. Something that's sweet. A sweet Savior unto Yahweh. Law number one. 12 different laws. And we'll be bring law number two tomorrow to you. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you. And so do I. Shalom.
Live free. Fourth tribe. 100 centuries. Yeah, yeah. Let's go. Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars because they tried to tax you. You should be asking who they was asking. Now what? Prices on our backs and the IRS wanted in on the back end. Lincoln was never down for emancipation. Just good political relations to try to make a good case for the next election. Yet Jim Crow came right back in the field, certified with a government seal. Probably tried to stand up with deal. Sadly, he thought that Jesus was real. They gave us some fake moons and education to keep us concealed.
Take a look at my soul. All I want to do is go. There's nothing left of me. I'm just horror slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to know. All I want to be is be my Yah and live free.
400 centuries of this horrid slavery, but Yah, he is the king, and he will save me. So now I ask you, will you drop to your knees and beg Yah, please? Don't you know that Yah is coming? It's like tomorrow. I can't even tell you the time on your Audemars. Just guard your heart, baby, paw, baby, dog. Don't cry. Paparazzi never cared about them tears. No way, just spend my Yah all day. Rest in him, just like the song say. I'm waiting for the day that he sit on the throne. Till then I'm stuck in my zone, staying focused on the day when he finally takes us home. Till then I'm prophesying to the dry bones. Till that day that I'm gone and Yah reveal what he has shown. That Yahweh is Elohim, is him and none alone.
Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me. Of this horrid slavery. For 100 centuries, nothing left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. Live free. Yeah. Take a look at my soul. All I wanna do is go. There's nothing left of me. Of this horrible slavery. For hundred centuries left for you to hold. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free. All I want to be is with my Yah and live free.
We ride for,
yeah.
We die for,
yeah.
Serve Yah only, cause there is no one besides one.
Let them know.
We ride for,
uh-huh.
We die for,
uh-huh.
Serve Yah only, cause there is no one besides
Let
one.
Them know.
There is none before Yah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.